Getting through 9-to-5 jobs over years can kind of beat the spirit out of you over a long period of time, because going to a new job and you start talking the same way, you start saying the same things. You've only got about two weeks before you're totally almost under the spell and you're indoctrinated, because if you start saying weird shit, you'll get side eye, eye roll, all that sort of stuff. And if you're a creative person, it's hard to, you've got to maintain that sense of that weird spirit of what you do and who you are. You've got to blend in a group situation, at a workplace, to pay the bills, to pay the rent so you can survive. It's slowly eaten away from you and you don't have any energy after work to even do anything. I've always thought bills are kind of a way of keeping everyone normal, because to pay the bill, you've got to have a job, and to have a job, you've got to act normal. And so then you've got to blend into society and participate. Every time I leave through the front door, I feel like, oh, here we go. I'm on the conveyor belt of participating with people and things and doing shit and pretending to be normal. What I call it, the kids call it masking these days. You can call it anything you want. I always struggle with it. It just felt dead and lifeless. The way people say the same shit in the same way. They sing phrases with the same exact same melody. And it gets tiresome. You start to feel like a zombie, and you're just a human algorithm. What always kind of, I've noticed when you go on holidays from work, like a 2-week holiday, a proper one, it normally takes about a week and a half until you're actually back to being a normal person again. And then you've only got half a week left to actually enjoy it. Then you've got the last 2 days to just anticipate going back to work. It's almost pointless taking a 2-week holiday in the first place. And you notice it in co-workers' eyes, fresh back from a holiday. For the first hour of the day, their wide eyes are just like this, like open, and they look like an endangered species for about an hour. And it's like, I see that. I can see the human inside that. You're not a robot. You're a person. But then after about an hour, they're back to just being completely normal, and they're just a pure algorithm again. But yeah, you see that shit. But yeah, surviving it is strange, and being able to survive it, you can bring a gift to the world. Survive through the cult of sensible, school jobs, family, and if you get to the end, you'll have a gift for the world. Even if you have the energy to even write about it later. I remember someone saying to me when I was in a chef job years ago, not a chef job, I was an apprentice cook, apprentice chef, whatever you want to call it, in my late 20s, and he said, Darby, you're a cartoonist. Maybe you'll make a cartoon about working in this job. And I thought, who'd want to write about jobs? I don't want to write about jobs. That's boring. But then into my 30s, all of a sudden I needed to read other people's stories about jobs and surviving them and the bullshit of it. And that made me, that was like medicine. It was like medicine reading other people's takes on the bullshit of it all. And stories were able to kind of save me. They were like a roadmap out of the endless routine of 9-to-5 jobs that just went forever and ever, and there was no end in sight. And when you're in your 30s, time's still quite slow, because time speeds up exponentially as you get older, but it still feels like forever. Your 30s is just never going to fucking end. It's also a time when people start to get promotions and get entrenched into the bullshit of the world and the fake human-made reality. I remember in a full-time job, the routine of the full-time job over 3 years made me so dizzy, clouds started to appear like dead things floating in the sky when I'd leave work. It sucked the magic out of just natural and nature, and I thought that this is dangerous. When nature starts to become unmagical, there's something dangerous going on. It's a tough one, but yeah, stories were able to sort of save me in that really interesting time in your mid-30s where there's some big life decisions to be made, so-called big life decisions, which someone said the other day on my Instagram, Darby, you sound like a smart and clever person, but I think some of your views are quite dangerous and you've got to be careful of what you say. And it's funny because I've said in the past, you're dangerous when you make something beautiful, and it's easy to talk about art and what to do and what not to do, but actually to do it and then be called dangerous. At first, of course, my ego was taken aback. I was like, oh, I'm not dangerous. Maybe I should. I questioned it. I thought, oh, maybe I am. Maybe that's a bad thing to put out there. But then I thought, no, fuck that. the people who were who actually saved my ass in my 30s, they would be called dangerous as well. I was like, oh, this is the greatest honor, one of the greatest honors ever, to be called dangerous. Other people have said it better and it more dangerously and more interestingly. But yeah, it's funny. The older I get, I forget that I've lived a bit and have this life experience. And anytime I write from the perspective of a 50-year-old, which is a character I'm also playing, I'm 50. But my videos and my thoughts seem to resonate. And I forget that I had that life experience. I feel like I'm just 21 or 18 or 12 or 8. Anyway, yeah, stories were able to save me and they were amazing. They were able to save me and make me feel normal in a world that insisted that I was completely off, out of line and unchecked and needed some sort of life performance review. You get enough performance reviews at work and you start to think, oh, so I'm going to get a performance review from life from someone at some point. You start to think that's your performance reviews at work are your performance reviews for life, for the life that you're living. I remember my manager saying to me once, Darby, I don't even think you should be working or even working here. Like, why are you even working here? Shouldn't you be writing poetry under a bridge? And another manager said to me, an ex-manager said to me 10 years later, Darby, I can't believe you're working. That's, oh, congratulations. It's like when I was working in some bullshit corporate job and this manager was working in another corporate bullshit job across the road when I bumped into her. But yeah, roadmaps, stories as roadmaps always intrigue me. And being able to feel less alone in the world when people say real and true things, which are really rare. When someone actually, or an artist or a writer, says something that's true, it makes all the other stories and all the other art seem fake. And it always brings a massive relief. My favorite art has always made me feel like a sense of relief and like I can breathe. I often find myself just holding my breath just through the day. I was like, oh, Darby, fucking breathe. Breathe. And yeah, well, I notice when I'm reading something true, my body responds to it first. I start to breathe because I'm reading something true. When I'm reading lies, I'm holding my breath. It's like my gut knows your intuition. Yeah, to start to notice when I'm breathing or not, and then I'll know if something's good for me or not. Like I've said in the past, most art is poison. You got to drink a lot of poison to find the stuff that's actually true or real or beautiful or takes you out of, relieves you of the burden of time. Oh, that's another thing that art does. Time is so fucking heavy. And it feels like when you're doing nothing, it's the heaviest. So people go to work and they have all these things. They have all these things in their life set up. So time's weightless and they don't feel it. The busier you are, the less you have time to ruminate. And time can feel kind of weightless and easy. And that's beautiful. I love that. I've noticed creativity involves the act of doing nothing. The seeming physical act of doing nothing. Just sitting there. And sometimes I think creativity is generating ideas and sitting still in the act of appearing to be doing nothing. Is kind of holding the weight of time and creating something that's beautiful, that relieves the weight of time for the person experiencing your art. Oh, that sounds good. That feels right. Yeah, I feel like that's what art is. Yeah, it's holding up the incredible weight of time to make time easier for other people. But then I've read quotes from other authors, famous philosophers, saying people who read too much don't or experience art too much or indulge in art too much. They don't actually get to experience the weight of time themselves because they're letting artists and writers do it all for them. It's funny, sometimes some people say to me that, oh, you're actually doing a community service. You're doing a service to the world. And that makes me feel... I wear it for 2 seconds and I just move on and I'm doing the next thing. But yeah, I feel like I'm digging a tunnel and I'm trying to put up infrastructure to get through to the other side, whatever that is. That's what life is. We're all just trying to, as many philosophers and Buddhists and all that sort of shit have said, we're just helping each other through. Or Ramdas, R-A-M-D-A-S-S said, we're just walking each other home. Something like that. Yeah, I forget sometimes that my stuff's helpful because I'm just trying to write stuff that's helpful to me. And if it's helpful to anyone else, it ends up, that's a bonus. That's the biggest beautiful thing. I really sort of went around in circles again with this one. I just wanted to, yeah, just talk and see where it leads. Sometimes it's my favorite thing to do with creativity. It's this podcast exactly reflected how I come up with ideas. I go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and it makes no sense. So thanks for following along wherever this garden path led. If you'd like to leave a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or leave a comment on YouTube where I'm, yeah. My cat in the background, she's like saying, shut up, Darby. Who gives a shit? This is what you do. Here I am with fumes coming off my head, and that's how you do life. That's how it's done.